Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is episode 400. And Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. I'm sitting right in front of you.
Yes.
As should be for episode 400.
And we have space. We're sitting comfortably in my kitchen because there's nobody in my house. And I'm at an absurd volume level. And I'm just realizing how live my house is.
Yeah, it's a roomy room.
Yes.
It's a big open space. Half of it's two stories with a tin roof. Very reverberant in here.
Yeah, it's really good. And at this point, I'm just really happy that we have enough space between us that I cannot smell your breath.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just partaked in some pizza.
Yes.
Which was pretty fantastic.
It was.
And now I want a nap.
We paid a whole lot of money to get pizza delivered to us.
Yeah, Jamie lives out in the middle of nowhere, and so we looked up like pizza delivery place that we were pretty sure it was going to work, and the delivery cost about as much as the pizza did.
Yeah.
It was basically the same, and it was totally worth it.
It was, because while we were waiting on pizza, we met the new love of our life. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously? We met the new love of our life.
Yeah.
I have been telling you about the Oculus Quest that Duff sent for months. And, of course, I can only play with it when other people are available because crippled.
Yeah.
You know? So, but I knew it was good.
Yeah.
And I've been telling you it was good for a while. You got your hands on it. And I love sitting in the same room with you, dude, because you were in there for 5 minutes, and you're like, yep, think I'm in love. And so, yeah, we're going to start with that.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to jump in. So, before we jump into that, first of all, it is episode 400, so we're excited about that. We did a big blowout thing for our episode 300. This isn't going to be quite that level, but we're in the same room. We've got lots to talk about, and so we're going to have some fun with the show.
Yes.
But before we do all that, it's also Thanksgiving, and we're going to get into that as well a little bit later in the show. But we're going to thank our Patreon guys right here at the top, so we don't forget. So thank you, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Brigham, Chris, and now Sam.
Sam's in the house, baby!
Sam is officially part of the Patreon guys now, and so we love that. So thank you, Sam, for jumping on board with the Patreon. Sam's been great over on Facebook.
Yeah.
I just love that dude.
Sam is our Facebook guy. And I don't know how he got the title that he's got, but if you notice when he posts stuff, it's got that thing that says he's something because he's a visual storyteller. Have you seen that?
I haven't noticed that.
That's really pretty cool. I don't know how he did that, but he's the one that is always posting game impression, telling us what we need to be playing, going, hey, you losers, why are you not playing this yet? That's Sam, so we're glad he's over there.
Yes, 100%. It's fantastic. So, that being said, we also got to say thank you to Duff, because as you mentioned, our joy of the Oculus Quest is thanks to our boy Duff. And so, that dude.
Okay, so we talk about Duff a lot. And I know the rest of you guys probably get tired of us talking about Duff, because we talk about Duff a lot.
Yeah.
But the reason that we talk about Duff a lot is because Duff has fundamentally changed the landscape of this show and what we're able to do on a regular basis. And it blows my mind that here we sit in my house, in my kitchen / living room, doing what it is that we're doing. I'm just thankful there's nobody else here, because they'd be staring at us going, what are you doing? But the reason that we're so happy right now is because of what Duff has pumped into the show. And we love the man. We would not be where we are without him. And now that I've said all of that, Duff, we need another Oculus Quest. Like, Christmas is coming. We've got an anniversary coming up. Like, the show's anniversary is coming up. We're about to be 15.
Yep.
Like, I will be your slave forever, but we need another headset. Can we have another one, please?
Yeah. The thing's pretty fantastic. So let's talk about what the thing is and how it's different, because we do have some VR experience with the first gen Vive.
Thanks to Duff.
Thanks
by
to
the
Duff.
Way.
Yeah. Speaking of, thank you, Duff, for that. The Quest is a different thing. For just quickly getting everybody up to speed here, because we were trying to figure out Oculus models a little while ago. It's confusing at this point. The Quest is a fully standalone headset. Meaning right. You don't have to have it tethered to your computer, which is one of the brilliant things about it, is it's truly wireless, and that's a huge game changer. That's significant. Of course, you can get the wireless adapter for the Vive now, so there are options of PC-powered headsets that are wireless.
Right, but you still got to have the sensors, you still got to do all yep. that.
And you still have to have the powerhouse PC.
Yes.
With the Quest, you don't have to do that. It's $400 for the 64 gig model.
Which is what we have.
The 128 gig model is another $100, which seems ridiculous to pay another $100 for 64 gigs.
Right.
Just storage management, whatever. That may become more of an issue at some point, like when the games get bigger or whatever. But for now, $400 for a standalone headset that out of the box, you can download games and play and never have to connect it, never need to connect it to a PC. But the thing is that really got me, and this is what we had a conversation about this a month or two ago when your brother came over and y'all played with it a little bit,
right.
Is you said to me, I really want you to get in the thing because I think it looks as good as the Vive does. And that's a big statement because the Vive is a tethered, powered by our powerhouse PCs, VR headset.
I mean, let's be honest. If we had everything up, the Vive is like quadruple the price.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's quadruple the price.
Easy.
Because just the headset was $800.
Yeah.
And then you add the wireless adapter, and then you add the powerhouse PC. Yep. We're talking about $1,500 in VR here.
Absolutely. At minimum, and probably a lot more than that. And so, I mean, I was a little skeptical just by nature of, like, is that really possible?
And I'm Jamie Jordan, and I overstate things.
Which is also true.
Yeah.
It's good self-awareness. I appreciate that. But man, after getting in it today, it looks every bit as good as the first-gen Vive. And I would say maybe better.
Yeah. Like, he's playing Moss,
yes.
right? And he's like, and he played 15, 20 minutes, and our day got shortened because we had to do some audio work. And so we spent like 3 hours doing some audio work for my church, which I'm very, very grateful for. If I haven't said that enough, sir.
Sure. Appreciate that.
I'm very, very grateful for that. But our day got shortened, And so we got home and we ate and we got into the vibe. He's been in about 20 minutes. He took it off his head. He ate. And now he's doing like what my nieces have done for the last 3 days. I can see him. It's in the other room. He's plugged in and he's going, I wonder if it's charged yet. Can I unplug it and put it back on my head? That's what I've heard.
I think I could play a game in VR while doing the show. Like, I think I could multitask that.
Because I'm serious. And this is the game changer for VR. I had people in my house for 3 days. Okay. And my room became the VR room because that's where we could put the people in VR away from everybody else while they visited. I told you I have not been in my room. When you came in, my PCs were turned off. I had to turn everything on because I hadn't been in here in 3 days. Because the only time that there wasn't somebody with that Oculus on their head was when it was charging.
Yeah.
And there was a point last night where the Oculus is sitting at 95%. And you and I, well, I'm not going to speak for you, but I've grown up my whole life going, here's how you use batteries. Here's how you use electronics. You run them down and you charge them back up. And then you run them down again and you charge them back up. So last night, it's on the charger and the Oculus is sitting at 95%. I know this because there's an app on my phone. And Avery has me watching it going, is it charged yet? I'm like, no, it's 95%. So she goes in and she sits, right? And so I go and I'm talking to my family or whatever. And I go back to my room and I knock on the door. And Avery comes out and she's got it on her head. And she goes, it's 95%. Can I play it? And I said, no, you got to put it back on the charger. And she's like, please let me play it. Please let me play it. And like, that's how good it is. She had on her head for 3 days. And then Carter showed up last night, which is the younger one. Avery just turned 16. Carter is now 13. Their birthdays are both this month. So Carter shows up last night. They have a sleepover. And before you got here this morning, Carter says to me, is this going to be here for a while? Like, is this going to be available? Because I really like it and I want to play some more. So, is it going to be around? And you and I went to the church. And while we're at the church in the sound booth, I get a text that says, do you mind if I play while you're gone? Like, that's how I tell y'all all of this to say, that's how compelling this experience is. And you think to yourself, they're teenagers, they're kids, they just want screens. Look, I'm 40 years old.
Getting there.
Yeah, you're getting there. And we feel the same way.
Yeah.
Like, I had this thing on my head for like 2 minutes today. And I'm like, all I want is a co-pilot on the Oculus. That's it.
Yeah.
Because we could sit, you said it, you're sitting at my kitchen table and you're playing Moss, which, by the way, this should tell you something. We own Moss on the Vive.
Right.
And I said to you, this is the test. We have to buy a game that we already own and see if we can tell a difference. And you're sitting there, and you're like, man, I could do this for hours. Like, I could just get lost.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever felt that way in the vibe.
So I think the difference is the thing that you're talking about with your nieces, I think is the key thing here, is that what they've done with the quest is that they've made it so approachable without significant compromise. I'm not going to say without any compromise. There's some compromise in there. But it's very, very minimal, and especially, again, comparing this to first-gen VR, which is where we got in at, it's just so much more intuitive. It's so much more user-friendly. It's so much just out of the box, ready to go. Like, I don't have to know anything about graphic cards. I don't have to know anything about all these different cable types. Put it on my head, download an app on your phone, because the whole thing runs off of a connection with your app on your phone, and so that's how you can check things about it. It just syncs to the app. And so you put the thing on your head, and you kind of just go, and it's all right there. So one of the things that just blew my mind of setting it up, and so the brilliance, one of the brilliant things about it, is that it's this inside-out sensor technology, right, where you don't have to have the sensors in the room, that it is looking out from the headset
right.
to set up your room scale. And so when you put it on, you see kind of like it has cameras on it that you can see out of. And so first of all, I was just able to walk around your house with the headset on. I had to take the headset on to walk around your house, which was super cool. It's something I can't do in the Vive. But I was able to walk from your bedroom into your kitchen without having to take the headset off because of that and because there's no wires. It's not tethered to anything. And so you can just literally go where you want. But as soon as I got into your kitchen, it was like, hey, man, you left the play area. Like, you're no longer in the area that we had set up. Do you want to set up a new room scale thing? Yeah, absolutely. Let's set up a new room scale. And with the Vive, it's always been a weird kind of challenge thing because you have to have the right size and you have to do like this thing with the controllers at the corners of the room and all this stuff.
And then it gets backwards. And
it's a whole thing. How this works, and I'm sure I don't know how the newer generation 5 stuff works, and so I'm sure it's more user-friendly as well. But speaking specifically to the Quest here, because you can see out of it using the camera, like it lets you stand in one place. It says, look down at the floor, make sure we know how far the floor is from you. And so it has like a grid that's on the floor. You can put the controller down on the ground if you need to calibrate it, whatever. And then it's like, look around your environment and like see where the obstacles are and use the controller to like outline your place space where you're not going to run into anything. And so you just like turn in a circle and you like trace the room with the controller and then you're done. And then as soon as you move out of that area, it pops up with the thing again that says, hey, you moved. Do you want to reset this up? And it's super easy to do. And so immediately it's just intuitive. Like it's just so, so user friendly. And then you pop in a game and you go. And it's that I think is going to be the key for VR success. That and the price. And the price at this point with the Quest is still pretty high, $400, but way lower for a VR experience that's going to do almost everything that the big powerhouse VR headsets can do. It's a game changer, I feel like. We've been talking about that we need incremental changes to get more into VR. This is that next step. There's going to be more steps. We're not there where it's going to be everywhere, but this is a much, much better VR experience for the broad public than what we've seen up until this point.
Okay, couple of things, because we've been having this discussion for a couple of weeks on the Facebook page. Sam, our newest Patreon guy, says, I really want to get in VR. I really need to do it. Can I do it for under $1,000? I said no. Sam, I tell you right now something I don't play very often. I was wrong. And here's why I was wrong, because I thought the Quest was a standalone thing and you weren't really going to be able to add to it. Guess what? With something as simple as a USB-C cable, you can plug this bad boy in and use the power of the computer that you got add to what's already in the headset.
Yeah. This is, to me, maybe the bigger game changer. It's called Oculus Link. I think it's what it's called, Oculus Link. And it's in beta right now, and so this is still fairly new. But Oculus is touting it. And the idea is that you can make the Quest function like a tethered VR headset, like the Rift S is what their current flagship tethered model is, or like a Vive or something like that. with just that USB cable that you just plug it in to your computer and to the headset, and now you're able to utilize the power of your PC. Now, of course, you still have to have that PC that has the oomph, the muscle to actually support that.
Right.
But it apparently gives you so right now, one of the problems with the Quest without the Oculus Link thing is that there's games that just aren't compatible with it because they're too demanding. Like they need too much resources in order to work on this standalone piece of hardware, because as remarkable as the standalone piece of hardware is, it's still going to be very limited compared to your PC. But by all accounts, the Oculus Link kind of bridges that gap. And so while the optics in the Quest aren't quite as good as they are in the Rift or probably in the Vive, the newer Vive models and all that kind of stuff, they're still really good.
Yeah.
And if you can pair that with your PC now to get the whole library of games, regardless of what headset you have or what level you're dealing with, yeah, man, that's where it's bringing it together for me. That I'm like, okay, $400, you get the headset that does everything out of the box that you want it to do, and especially one of our favorite parts of VR that we've talked about a ton is sharing it with people. So sharing it with your nieces, like how much joy that's brought you in the past few days to see them like love this technology.
And I feel so bad because you're like, dude, I want to get this home. I want to get it on my internet connection. I just looked at you and I'm like, dude, you can't take this has to stay here.
Yeah.
We have to get another one because that's the new thing in the house. And it's not like with the Vive, because they know we have the Vive.
Yeah.
They know that's the thing. They know I have a headset in my room. And if I would just be not so lazy and just buy some sensors, we can set that up. But this is so much simpler.
Yeah.
You need to take. I want to use it at your house. I want to know what it does with your internet connection. But they're going to be here again in 3 weeks. I'm going to have Avery for at least 2 weeks. That ain't leaving my house.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just not.
And that's the genius of it. Is it's so, like, you could just pick it up and go. But now you can also get that same experience that we want from, like, the Vive, that we've gotten from the Vive in the past.
Yeah.
Without all the headache of setting up. Because, like you said, I've got a Vive sitting in my house. I haven't touched it in months. Because it's just kind of a pain to set up. I got to get the sensors out because I don't have them like mounted anywhere, because I've got my PC in my living room. And like then I have to like move furniture and room scale and do all that kind of stuff and have to plug in everything in the first place because it's not already plugged in. And it's a bunch of cables and it's just kind of a hassle. And so there's, you know, like talk about Half-Life Alyx. I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's going to be the thing that makes me get it out of the closet for a little bit. But this, like, you just put it on your head and you're ready to go. Like, you got to make sure you got batteries, but that's about it. Like, otherwise it's just ready to go. And that ease of use, that access to it, while still delivering the gameplay experiences that we want, being that top level VR, or at least pretty close to top, being able to play the top level VR games at near a top level VR visual representation. It's just, yeah, it's just the perfect balance to me.
So Sam, to further answer your question, Half-Life Alyx is coming to this from Valve. Like, it will be available on the Oculus Quest.
With the Oculus Link, yeah.
Yeah, with the Link. So basically, you're paying for the Quest, which is $400, and then you're paying for what is essentially a USB-C cable. They're going to have a cable of their own coming in the future, but right now you just buy one off Amazon and off you go. So that's your out-of-the-box VR experience for less than $600.
Yeah.
I feel like my brother right now, because when my brother wants something, he just goes and gets it. And even with Duff, you know, show's got a little bit of a limited budget, and we're adults, and you have a kid, and so we've got limited budgets, but, like, I'm looking at this thing going, we just need to go buy another one. What we need two.
Yeah.
And to say that is, that's how good it is. And Dolph wanted a really good review. And he sent this to me, and it said in the note that he sent, I need a really good review. Look, man, I hate to tell you this after all the money that you spent dropped on us. Don's probably going to have a heart attack at some point. But this, the Quest, is the best VR experience out there. Period. And you know, that's, I'm talking to a guy right now that has Vive 2.0, has all the stuff, has the 2080, has everything. I'm telling you, man, you buy one of these, all that stuff's going in the closet. That's just how I feel. Are you in that same?
I think so. I mean, at least for the total package, what it is, it's the best experience that I could see out there. What I haven't explored as thoroughly is the games library, just to see what is available, what's not available, because it is Oculus. Now, there is apparently a way also that you can sideload games onto it from, like, Steam, and so you can get some of those non-Oculus right. games onto it. I don't know how complicated that process is or anything else. But, I mean, it has the big titles on there. And so, like, I played just a little bit of Beat Saber, which is what your nieces are yeah. super into, and it's like the VR game. And I played one song, and I was like, oh, I get it. This is a blast. Like, it's so much fun. And that's something that, like, immediately you know what to do. Like, it's so self-explanatory, yet it's so much fun at the same time. And it's something that, like, your, you know, 16-year-old niece, your 13-year-old niece, your, like, 8-year-old cousin is going to love. And it's also something that your mom and your dad are going to really enjoy. And everybody's going to, like, looking stupid together at Thanksgiving right. or Christmas or whatever. And again, you just pull it out of the box and you put it on, and so you could do it right there in the middle of your living room or whatever. It just has that full experience thing that you can be the hardcore gamer that wants to play Half-Life Alyx, and you can have the niece that wants to play Beat Saber, and this one headset's going to suit you well for both of those things.
The only knock that I have, and if you're using the Oculus Link, this is not going to be an issue. But the only knock that I have is that the battery life is not what you would want it to be. You play for a couple hours, and it's time to charge again.
Yeah.
But for all that's packed into this package, I can't fault them for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's a valid complaint. The other one I'd throw in there too. It's the least comfortable VR headset I've worn, and that's yeah. significant. That's not nothing, because you want to be able to immerse yourself in a game and for a while. And of again, I haven't played with the newer generation Oculus Rift or the newer generation Vive or the Valve headset now. But of the PlayStation VR and the early models of the Vive and the Oculus, this is, to me, by far the least comfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they make, like, different little surrounds that you can buy as an accessory or something like that to make it just rest on your face a little bit better. It's not terrible. I need to take this off because it's bothering me. Like, it's not bad. It's just, again, you can feel where it's the more budget headset and some of those things. Like, you could feel that, like, they didn't put as much money into making sure that this is really going to hug your face in a way that you want it to hug your face, which is okay. I would rather it be $400 and approachable and like that, and you kind of get over it pretty quickly, than be another $100 or $150 more expensive and have a plusher, you know, face pad or whatever, and be less approachable. I think that for VR to continue to be a thing and to be successful going into the future, that accessibility is going to be the biggest, biggest thing. And this is, again, a step in that direction, a really, really big step.
Let's talk about the other side of that, because for all of it not being uncomfortable, you put it on your head with no headphones, and said, crap, man, this audio is really good.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's, you know, put it on my head. We were just kind of playing around with it. And I was thinking in the back of my mind, I'm going to have to go grab some headphones here in a little bit because, like, I'm used to the Vive, you just have to have headphones. And you don't. It has audio built into it that plays right out the headset that isn't, like, you don't have to have headphones. Now, to be very, very fair here, the audio quality isn't great. It's not terrible. It's just what you would expect out of little tiny speakers playing off of this headset. But outside of the just fidelity side of it, that doesn't have this great bottom end that you'd get from a good pair of headphones or something like that. Like, it still really well preserves the 3D audio aspect of it, which is a really important part of VR. You need to be able to locate things not just visually, but auditorily as well. And so those little speakers that are playing back right next to your ears actually track really well with, like, your head movement. And I was not expecting, I didn't even know it had the built-in little speakers. Like, I didn't know that that was a thing on this. And so pretty quickly I went, holy cow, this is fantastic. And it's nice because you can hear what I'm doing, or I can hear what you're doing when you have it on. And so, again, it kind of brings the world outside into the experience a little bit. But that's a cool, cool feature. And again, something that's not off-putting about it. That's an accessibility thing where you have the audio built in right there that you don't have to put on headphones that makes it hard to hear the people in the room around you,
right,
or that you have another cord that's dangling around or whatever.
And I'm going to beg again for co-pilot mode to have another headset to watch while you play. However, this, because of the app on the phone or on your iPad or wherever you choose to download that, this has the ability to cast what's going on in the headset to whatever device that app is on. It's not great. It's a wireless casting capability, but you were playing Moss, and other than the fact that the screen was upside down, I could totally see everything you were doing. And I don't want to sit through 10 hours of Half-Life Alyx that way, but it's there.
Yeah, and again, it's that idea, if you can share that with, like, a Chromecast or something, put it on your TV, you bring the whole family into the experience. And that's huge. That's, again, what makes this not a, like, a 40-year-old gamers that love tech that we are, that we want from VR, but also our parents and our kids or our nieces and nephews,
right,
involved as well. And if you could put it up on the screen and that works pretty seamlessly, pretty easy to do, again, just a massive, massive deal.
If anybody from Oculus is listening, I doubt they are, but if they are, and it's possible to cast this to a Chromecast or to a PlayStation or something like that, somebody please let us know, because that was the next thing, was, oh man, it would be really nice to watch you playing Moss on a big screen. Like, that would be sweet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I still want the extra headset with the co-pilot capabilities, but this is a nice intermediate step.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's overall maybe a good way to describe where we're at with VR at this point. By the way, it does work on Chromecast. Just found it on their website. So
it does. Good, okay.
Which I now have one, by the way, because of Stadia. They sent you a Chromecast and that.
Sweet.
So there's that. But I think the current state of VR, the progression that we've seen, is we've gotten to this place that we're in a good intermediate stage. There's also the Oculus Go, which is the cheaper model, kind of next level down. That's not going to have necessarily all the features, but it's $150. And so, but I really think, like, we've also had the Samsung Gear VR, and we had Google Daydream, which is now gone. I don't know,
right,
if Samsung's still pushing theirs or not. I don't think so. And so, like, those were around that same price point. Of course, we're also dependent on a phone, but those have kind of gone away. And so that, like, $150 standalone headset, maybe they sell a lot of copies of it. I just don't know. But I really think this one right now is like that flagship VR experience. It is all in one, but it's a high enough level experience that you can buy it. Now again, it costs what a brand new generation console does, not what current generation consoles cost, but what the PlayStation 5 or Xbox 2 or whatever it is it's going to cost in a year. It's not cheap, but it's not outrageously expensive either.
Let's be, we're talking about VR here, and we're talking about it like it's cheap. It's not cheap, but for getting into VR.
Oh yeah,
you can't do better than this.
No,
how am I gonna put this? I feel like my brother played the Vive at my house after it showed up. Went out the next day and bought one. Okay. Year and a half later, he said, "I'm tired of this," and gave it to one of his employees who probably set it up once and it's in his closet somewhere, which I'm cringing because now I need those sensors.
Right.
And, you know, my buddy Jeremy that works downtown has those sensors. And they're probably not being used. And he played with this. And he said, "You know what? I thought about going out and buying one because the NBA VR experience for watching games on there is something I would really be into. My brother is like way into basketball now. You know I'm way into basketball. I always have been. He's in it because he has a kid that's playing basketball and loves that. So we're talking basketball all the time now. And he said to me, "Dude, I really want one for that NBA, you know, courtside kind of experience." And the accessibility has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Don't hear us wrong. We love the Vive. The Vive's great tech. We love stuff for what he continues to do for us, the money he continues to spend. But the accessibility is what makes this. I don't know how better to express how much more accessible it is.
Yeah. It's a completely different experience just from a VR level. Like, we're tech-savvy people. And so there was something fun the first time that we set up the Vive of like figuring it out and making it work and like all that stuff. Like there was something just kind of cool about
it's
that.
It's geeky.
It's geeky.
Yeah.
But the 30th time you do that is just a chore, right? Yeah. Like after a while, it's no longer like geeky fun. Like I'm a mad scientist making this cool technology work. It's just like, this is clunky. That's the brilliance here. It's just not clunky. Yeah, you still get those same like giddy VR things. Like, because I haven't played anything in VR in months, and so I just put it on my head. And so, like, as soon as like the little like lobby area that's like this cabin kind of thing like pops up, I just went, ooh, you know, like, yeah. Like you just get that like giddy sense because it's just fun. It's just so cool. Like it gives you like all those same kind of dopamine or whatever responses in your brain with a fraction of the work, you know? And so it's like, okay, yeah. Like, okay, it was setting up, it was fun playing with the tech of the Vive the first time through, but it's also just fun playing the Vive, not as much fun setting it up. This is just fun to play and you don't have to set it up. And it's just, we could go on and on.
I mean, and what the scary part of that is if it gets much easier, we're all going to be crackheads.
I know.
I'm not ever going to be able to get it off Avery's face.
Yeah.
We had another person in my house because my sister has a very cool dude that has been hanging around her. So we got to meet the dude. And if he's listening, "Hey, Steve, what's up, buddy?" And he put it on his face for about 10 minutes. And he came out of the room and he was like, dude, that's cool. Like, I think I really got to get one of them for my house. And so it can, I'm not putting it on my dad's face yet because my dad's my dad.
Right.
Like, you've been around for like 10 minutes and you like looked at me and you didn't even have to say anything. Yep, still the same guy. So I haven't done that yet, but it's so simple and so approachable. You put it on somebody's face and they're like, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost the only equivalent that I can think of is it's like the first time that you played Pong. Like, you know, like it's that thing, like we don't have anything like this. And it's like the coolest thing ever. And it's accessible, and that just makes it easier.
Yeah. Yeah. It's brilliant. It really is. And so I didn't anticipate that being the thing that we got so caught up on today. It was kind of in the back of my mind.
No, we were going to play Zelda.
Totally planning to play Zelda. But now what we're going to do for the rest of the day after we get this, is so you'll hear this on the next show, is we're going to play Vader Unleashed.
Like Vader Immortal.
Vader Immortal.
Yeah.
That's going to be the rest of our time together, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Just see how much of that we could do. Because it's Star Wars time of the year, and so that's fun, and it's Star Wars in VR. That's apparently pretty good, and so that's where we're spending our time. We're going to play some Zelda, probably over the internet. But right now, we're going to play some VR. And again, that's not what I anticipated our day being today. But I am pumped about it.
And he's like fidgety sitting over there in the chair going, can we get back to it, please? Yeah. Going, it's that good.
It is that good. I'm pretty excited about it. So we'll end that conversation here. But as you can tell, being show 400, we're going to go a little bit long. We've also been terrible about giving y'all shows the past couple months. And so we're going to make up for it a little bit here. Not a ton of news to talk about this week because we just did a show earlier this week. And so honestly, it's not been that long since we did a show, and it's Thanksgiving and everything else. But we did want to do something special, being both show 400 and it being Thanksgiving. And so we came up with an idea of doing a kind of games we're thankful for, right? Like growing up, playing games, being 40 or close to at this point.
Yeah.
Like we have a lot of experience with games. And so this isn't best games. We need to go back and revisit our top 10s at some point, because that's a really fun exercise.
That's a Christmas exercise.
We'll start making a list thinking about that. That's a good call. But that's not what this is. This isn't even great games, because some of these games may be not that good at games, but they're games that, for whatever reason, that mean something for us personal ways, whatever, that we are thankful that they existed, thankful for the time that we got to spend with those games. So this can be any point in our life, current games all the way back to when we were kids and playing Atari and whatever.
Hey.
And so get some gears grinding.
Yeah. Well, they're grinding, baby. They're grinding.
So I'll start because I've got two or three that I'm thinking of right now. So I'll start sappy with The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. And so I'm going to pick this one. You know why I'm picking this one.
Yeah.
This is the first game that Jamie and I played together. Like, this was pre even us doing a podcast or a radio show or anything else, like just starting to hang out. Like, hey, dude, you should come over to my house and play some games sometime. That game that we played through all the way through together was Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
I don't know how you got out of your house that much. Because you had a wife at that point.
I did.
Which I was...
thankfully, didn't have a kid yet.
I knew, but I kind of like pushed aside. Because there was a couple of weeks there where it's like, yep, going to Jamie's. See you later. That was... Okay, here's why that's installed. That's the way I've always played games.
Yep.
Like my whole life, and when I could play games, when I had a controller, when I had the ability to do that, which by the way, that's coming back around. I heard from my buddy Ken this week, and it's looking sweet.
Nice.
But even when I had the ability to do that, I always played with other people in the room. I always had a buddy.
Yep.
I always had things that we were working on together. And you and I did that. And there's people that ask us all the time, that like, you know, if one of you decides to quit, you know, what are you going to do with the show? And my response has always been, we're out, because neither one of us wants to do this as a solo thing, because gaming for both of us has always been a buddy deal.
Yep.
And it always will be, I think.
Yeah.
And that's why it matters. And I think all of the games that are about to come up in the next 10 or 15 minutes or whatever, for us, have some component of that buddy thing going on, because we're playing the Outer Worlds right now. Part of what makes the Outer Worlds really cool is we're not playing it together. We're not in the same room, but we're playing the same game.
Yep.
Duff, the man who just keeps buying crap, bought us a copy of Disco Elysium yesterday, I think that was. I got the thing that said, hey, you got a gift. And it was from Duff, and it was Disco Elysium. That's a game that you and I will be playing simultaneously, although we only have one copy. So you'll be playing it, then I'll be playing it, then you'll be playing it, then I'll be playing, you know.
Speaking of how it was in the old days.
Yeah.
That's how we used the game as well.
So I think every game on that list for us has that buddy aspect to it.
Absolutely.
And we sound like a cheesy buddy cop movie.
Yes.
But it literally drives everything that we do gaming wise. And you have other friends.
Absolutely.
And I have other friends that I occasionally see, occasionally hang out with.
I think for both of us, though, it was when we were young that we did this a lot more.
Yeah.
Now it's really you and I play games with each other.
Yeah.
Not really with anybody else.
No, that's the thing. I don't have anybody else.
Yep.
It's like, hey, you playing this? I mean, people, I don't know if you get this, but people that know me, like I was, with it being Thanksgiving, I saw one of my cousins that I don't see on a regular basis. And he sat down, and one of the first things out of his mouth was, so, you still play video games? Like, he's asking.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know. You're that guy I play with.
Yep.
Like, they were asking me to play Stellaris, which is on the Game Pass. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's Grand Strategy.
Yeah.
And they're like, we need to get hooked up. We need to play some games. And I don't know if you've had this happen, but they said that, and I was like, eh. You know, like, I love my family, but I'm like, eh.
We should definitely do that, guys. Just get a hold of me sometime.
Yeah, like, and he sends me a number, like, on a text, and I haven't responded to the text, because...
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I mean, can you explain that? Because I don't get it. The only person I really want to play stuff with is you.
Yep, no, nope. I hear you 100% there. That is, yep, very similar experience. It's even like some of my buddies from when I was younger, you know, that we've talked about playing games and you know, earnestly wanted to, for whatever reason, just never happened. And obviously us doing this show together necessitates us to do that. But it is one of the things I'm most thankful for of doing this show, is that it necessitates us to play games. You know, like, we get to play games together because of this. It gives us an excuse for that at the end of the day, more than anything else. You know, like, that's such a fun part of what we do, is it just gives us a reason to play games. So.
And I commented on the sanity thing the last show. Like, I think we could not be on the air. The sanity part of it is the whole being together kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 40 years old, and I know it's a thing, and people play online all the time, and the guys that I work with, when we walk out the door, the question that they ask each other, Hey, you gonna be online tonight? Again, I'll do that with you.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that with anybody else.
Yeah.
Just, no.
Yep.
I can't explain that. I don't get it. But even if the show goes away, that will always be the thing that you know, that we do.
Yep.
And because of this, we found other stuff. Like, it's I'm looking around with what's going on with the Astros. I'm like, man, I want to get that guy in the room and ask him what he thinks about that, because I know he's wrecked.
Yeah.
And he's only got about three people that he can talk to about that.
Yep.
And, you know, we spent 2 hours in a church messing around with audio. There's that. Everything that we do is kind of built around doing a together thing.
Yep.
And so to get back to the original point of this, one of the ones on my list is Portal.
Oh, nice.
Right.
Oh, good one.
Because that's one of those that we sat down and we played it, and then we played it online. We did the same thing with Portal 2. Like, there's some video of us somewhere playing it online together and me cursing and you laughing because we're trying to get the timing right. Like, that's somewhere. That's a thing.
Yeah.
So Portal is one of those titles.
Yeah.
Metal Gear is one of those titles.
Yep.
I have the first Metal Gear we ever played together was Metal Gear 3.
Yep.
And I remember, I don't remember it being in my house, but it had to have been. Or maybe you were supposed to meet your wife somewhere. But we got to the end of Metal Gear 3, and there's that like 45-minute cutscene. I think I was sitting in your house.
No, that was here.
Was it here?
That was here. I remember that pretty vividly because I had to keep texting the wife of like, it's just going to be a little bit longer. And then I got pulled over on the way home that night for, quote, looking suspicious, which I'm sure we talked about on the show at the time, which was just this absurd thing.
I don't know. So I don't know if you ever told me that.
So it ended up being like 2 hours later that I got home, or 3 hours later that I got home than originally anticipated. But yes, I have a very clear memory of that. That we're like, oh man, we just got to get through this. We got to get through this. But it's so good.
The cutscene went for like 45 minutes. Yeah. And I kept looking because you're phone kept digging, and I was like, dude, you're not leaving. I don't care how much shit we gotta take, you're not leaving.
Yep.
And you didn't, and she wanted to kill us both. but yeah, that's another, Metal Gear is another one of those.
I'll throw in on a personal level, for me, Metal Gear Solid 2 was one of those as well,
right,
which we've talked about before
with Mike and Nathan.
The Metal Gear Solid 2 has always been a really special Metal Gear for me. I really do love that game and think that it got unfairly panned because you didn't play a Snake. I get it all. We've talked about that a ton before. But part of the reason that I love it so much is that we went and rented it from, what was the video store called in Canyon? Silver Screen. Silver Screen.
Yep.
We went and rented that my freshman year of college and literally sat in our dorm room for 17 hours. Just played straight through that game. Like, got up to go to the bathroom and eat, and that was it. Missed all of our classes. Didn't do anything, but played all the way through that game in one sitting. And it just was a blast.
Okay, so I got to tell you a story about that. Because since this is show 400 and we're reminiscing all that, my buddy Jeff built our first website.
Yeah. Good old Jeff.
That was... And I talked to Jeff like 3 days ago, right? That was one of our first experiences, was sitting in his house playing Metal Gear 2. And that was the game that was like, he would come to my house on a Saturday. We would get pizza like we did today. Thank you, LaBella's Pizza.
Yes.
And we just sit and we would play. And his ex-wife who is not his current wife, obviously, that's where her hatred of me started, was because he would just come to my house, and he'd be gone all day. And I remember there was one conversation where he looked at me and he was like, dude, she really don't like you. Like, we had this discussion where he was like, she said, if you feel like you got to go over there, just get it over with. You know, it was that kind of thing. And thankfully, they are no longer together. But I have to admit, and I remember this vividly, first time I went to your house, you were on the bike, I was in the chair.
Yep.
We're just going along, having a good conversation. We didn't really know each other.
Yep.
This is before you came over here for Wind Waker, all that. And we're trying to get to know each other. It's kind of awkward because, believe it or not, for as outgoing as I am, I'm learning as I get older, I'm not really a people person. So, like, you and me trying to talk to each other, that first conversation was awkward.
Yeah, because I'm awkward. Not a people person at all.
Like, right. So, yeah. So we're going along there, and I very clearly remember saying, you saying something about being married. And I literally stopped. And I said, you're married? And you said, yeah. And I literally audibly said, crap. And you said, what? And this was around the time that I was doing all this stuff with Jeff. And I said, wives just don't like me. They don't like me. And so back on the list of the things that I'm thankful for, and I don't say it enough, but your wife is the only reason we can still do this show.
That's the truth.
And I can honestly say that Lana / the Sexy Sidekick, I know likes me. I know loves me. But I also still, when I'm hanging out in your house, I also get that look that's like, crap, he's back. You know, so I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I am thankful about the fact that she tolerates me and this and everything that has gone with it, because this has turned into a bigger, more intensive thing than either of us ever thought.
Yeah.
Because of Duff, because of all the Patreon guys, there's just stuff showing up at our doors all the time. I'm about to have a brand new controller show up at my door. Like, I'm trying to explain to my new buddy Steve that is dating my sister what a big deal this show is. And I can't really put it into words because we're just two dudes sitting in a room doing a podcast, and there's probably not that many people listening to us.
Yeah.
This has gotten to be a bigger deal than either of us ever anticipated. And every time something shows up at your door, you call me, you're like, man, you would not believe the eye roll I just got. Yeah. Because Lana is very supportive of the show. She doesn't understand it. Yes. She doesn't know why people like us.
Yes.
She doesn't know why we keep doing it. Can we just get a life, please? But yet she allows us to keep doing it. And we literally would not be here if it were not for that.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything? Because she's your wife.
No.
So I'm going to give you the floor.
Let me circle back around. I just want to mention one thing, because I've got a game that actually ties into all this, too, with her. Before we do that, I just want to mention Metal Gear one more time, in that every single game in that franchise of Metal Gear Solid is one of those games for me that,
yeah.
that I have those yeah. memories with. The first one, playing with my buddies back home, playing the second one in college, playing the third and fourth and fifth ones with you,
yeah.
like that each one of those games that we finished Metal Gear 5 sitting in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Christmas one year or an E3. I don't remember when it was, but that's where we finished Metal Gear 5 at. It was like, that's it. That's where the game ends. This feels so not
yeah,
finished. But like,
not cool.
But still super fun, because that was a fun game and a great experience. So, yeah, Metal Gear is just a great franchise for that.
While we're on that, and then we'll get back to your wife, because yeah. I want to give you 2 minutes. I feel like, as weird as it is, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we got to find 3 days, 4 days, somewhere, and plug in Death Stranding.
Mm-hmm.
Because Death Stranding is that same type of weird experience
yep.
that only the two of us are going to get.
Yeah.
Like, we're it. We're the guys that are going to get it. And Sam is on the Facebook page going, this is so cool. And it just makes me happy to think about that, because I know we have another game on our list that we're going to have to get in a room, close the door, order a lot of pizza, have a lot of alcohol, and just do what we can do.
Yep.
That's the next game on that list.
Yeah. That may be a Christmas game.
Yeah.
That may be something to consider for then. So that's yeah. a great point. Swinging back around to the Sexy Sidekick, I could obviously go on for quite a while about how great I think she is for everything she's done to support us, and far above that of being a wife and a mom and everything else at this point. That's fantastic. But tying that in with kind of the theme here, I'm going to bring up World of Warcraft
yeah.
As a game I'm super thankful for. As another game that you and I played a ton together, and especially after I moved away, that was a way for us to play a game on a regular basis. That was really nice, because most of the time that we've been doing this show, we've not lived close to each other.
No.
And so, but the other reason that I'm so thankful for World of Warcraft is that for whatever crazy reason, the Sexy Sidekick got way into it for a while too. And I've not had another game that I've ever played with her, and probably won't. It's probably the only game that I'm going to have at that level. But we had two computers set up in our office that we were playing World of Warcraft back to back. You would play with us as well. We
yes.
would all be playing World of Warcraft together. And that's from a pure, like, personal gaming experience, that's the best gaming I've ever had.
Yeah.
Playing World of Warcraft with you and my wife and tons of other people. I was really lucky to get to play
yeah,
with other
friends. Yeah, we had a whole crew.
People from the show, like yeah. all kinds of people that I got to connect with on that game. I will forever be thankful for what World of Warcraft was for that like 5 years in there or whatever that we were way into it. But predominantly the biggest reason is it was a game that I got to play with my wife a ton. And that
yeah.
was a real joy.
I will say the thing that's charging in the other room that we're working to get back to, I think that may be the next thing, because we have, put every headset that we've had on her face and she plays for a little while. That's all right, but
yeah.
it's a little much. This, I think, may be the thing where she puts it on her face and goes, okay, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. I'm skeptical that she'll ever be back in one, especially anywhere near that level, but I'm super, super grateful that
yeah.
that's one I had. So, yeah, that's a big one for me. You got another one you want to bring up?
I do, because I feel like we have to talk about... I feel like we have to talk about Breath of the Wild.
Oh, nice.
Because
yes.
Breath of the Wild... There are certain games that make me realize how much it sucks to not be in the same area.
Yep.
Because Breath of the Wild had the same effect on us as Wind Waker did. And all I thought while we were playing Breath of the Wild is like, hey, it's really cool that we have this tech that Tommy can stream this and put it on the web and I can watch it. But I really need to be like in his house. He needs to be in my house. We need to be sitting in the same room, because that's what we do with this franchise. And Breath of the Wild was that next game, and it's the one that made me, like, I'm constantly talking about being in the same city, having studio space, having all, I'm constantly talking about, Duff hears me talk about it when we're off the air. It's stuff like that, yeah, we have the tech to stream, and it's cool to watch and all that, but then you play something like Breath of the Wild, and it's like, yeah, we need to be in the same room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll throw that in there for that.
Yeah.
We did finish Breath of the Wild and the DLC in my room right here.
Yep.
So that was cool.
Yes.
But that's probably the latest one of those.
And to be honest with you, my favorite part of playing Breath of the Wild, as much as I love that whole game, and when we do our top tens, it will be way up there on mine. But the favorite experience I had of Breath of the Wild was going shrine hunting at the very end. After we had finished the game and everything else, we just wanted to finish all the shrines. So we, again, did that right over there in your room during E3. And that was a blast.
That video of us playing that game and drinking. We didn't have that much alcohol.
That one stupid shrine.
We looked like we were stoned out of our brains.
Yeah, it was like one, like, Mike's Hard grape whatever. Like...
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that we were affected like that, but that video is still somewhere.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's on Patreon.
I think that's what actually got the Patreon kicked off and got people happy about that. And to go back to sort of the theme of this section, I put like 3 hours of... I just blanked, of The Outer Worlds on Patreon. And when I streamed it, I said on the stream, I know this is all right. I know it's all right. I know it's not great. So if you don't want to watch this, I'm all good. It's just me playing games. And the main reason why is because I'd have a whole lot more to say if we were sitting in the same room playing on a 50-inch big-screen TV with good sound. We'd both be talking. We'd probably both be drunk. And it's just a different experience. And so I said to you last week, nobody's watched that, and you made the comment of, you know, y'all need to go watch it. I know why you're not watching it, because we're not in the same room together playing it. That's why. And that's why I'll never be a successful YouTuber. That's why you won't be, because it's just not like we can do it. I can play games, but I don't really want to talk while I'm doing it unless you're here.
Yeah. And interact with strangers. I think that's one thing that both you and I, like, we want to interact with people we know, you know, like that's something I can't just wrap my head around with the streaming culture, is that you're just like talking to random people online.
Yeah, which I'm cool with that, but going back to what we originally talked about, it's and we've talked about it before, when you and I are on the mic, it doesn't matter whether it's live radio, whether it's this show, whether it's live streaming, whatever we're doing, we're turned on. Like, this is not me all the time. It's not you all the time.
Yeah.
We're turned on. And so are all those live streamers. But for us, I think it's more of an extent than it is for most people.
Yeah. And can I piggyback off of that?
Because sure.
One of the things, when we don't stream and play games together, we're pretty boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we just sit and play a game, and like we have a blast, and we make comments every now and then. But it's not like running commentary that we feel like we have to like keep people entertained during that or whatever, you know? Like there's something that's really cool about that experience that's not fun to watch, I would imagine. But it's just a joy in going back to so many of these games that's just really, really fun on a personal basis of just hanging out with your buds playing games.
So to wrap this section up, I think the key for us, and probably what will get us both to Hawaii, because stuff is banging at this point.
Yes.
Probably what will get us both there and really having a good time is because we'll be there together. Like, I want to go see Duff, and I want to go see Don, and I want to do all that. And I love the fact that you're here, and I love the fact that we have what we have, but I'm also thinking about the fact, like, you're looking at your watch, because we got a few hours left, because you got to get back to your kid.
Yep.
You've been gone, like, what, 5 hours, and you're like, man, I wonder what my kid's doing.
Yeah.
You look at your phone going, man, she's really cute. And that's the thing, is like, you and I, and I hate to put myself in this, and please tell me if I'm overstepping, but I kind of feel like it's like my two dads. Hey, you remember that show? Because life is great. I love your wife. But there will be a point when we're in a room together where it's you, me, and Genevieve, and Lana goes, okay, I'm going out to do my thing. I'm going to the library. We're like, yeah, we're good. We'll see you later. And as she gets older, that's going to be more and more the case.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what we're going to do in the future is going to be sitting in a room with her.
Yeah.
Going, hey, look, we're playing games.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the not necessarily the show I would have used to to make the analogy, but I get where you're coming from. And one thing, you're absolutely right there. Like, when we do this again in 10 years or whatever, like, it's going to be a whole bunch of games that I play with her. You know, like, yeah. That's the next stage, and I'm super pumped about that. And it's going to drive the sexy sidekick nuts. But I'm pumped to get that little girl into some video games as well. And so, the joy of gaming that just keeps continuing. Going back to how much enjoyment, I'll bring up one more game here. That was so much joy in my childhood, so much joy in my college years, and still so much joy today. It is a stupid, stupid game. Is Toe Jam and Earl.
Yep.
That I played with my buddies when I was in junior high. I played with my good friend when I was in college, and I've played with you. And that's, you know, like, that's an experience. It's like a stupid game with juvenile humor. And it's not that great of a game at the end of the day, but it's so, like, fun with the right people, and it's just been this throughput all the way, like, through my life. Like, those are the kinds of experiences I also want to pass down to her.
On the very short list of things we're going to do when we actually have time and we're sitting in the same room, you want to know what's going to be at the top of the list, live streaming Patreon content? It's going from start to finish, Toe Jam and Earl, two of us. That's going to happen. Yes. That's on the, you can, like, Death Stranding, all the rest, that's all cool. But
Toe Jam and Earl.
On the very top list, Toe Jam and Earl. And I know y'all think we're insane because y'all have played it too and go, it's not really that good. Yeah. It's because you're not playing with the right people.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, the fact that both of us, well, before we knew each other, both loved that game as well. That's just one of those titles that just has this that has this through line all the way. So there's lots more we could do here. We will save that for you. We've waxed on nostalgic enough here, but I will I'm going to take a moment because I know you're going to take this moment too. So I'm going to jump in ahead of you really quick. Of just saying, we say this every year, but it's worth mentioning again how thankful I am for every one of you guys that's listening and that supports us in whatever capacity that is. If you want to support us on Patreon, obviously we'd love for you to support us on Patreon.
Yep.
But there's a whole bunch of guys out there that have been great friends of this show that I've never given to Patreon, and I don't care. That I just love every single person that's been a part of this journey from all the way when we started. There's guys we don't hear from anymore, but I love and am thankful for those guys that were here at the beginning. There's guys that are popping up now that haven't been around very long that are getting involved, and that's awesome too. For both of us, and again, I'll let Jamie speak into this as well, but for both of us, it just... a huge part of the fun and the joy of doing this show, not more than us getting to hang out. That's ultimately, I think, for me, I'll say at least, that the biggest thing that I enjoy out of that. But very close to that is the fact that we've gotten to meet so many cool people from all over the world that, for whatever reason, come back and listen to us at least every once in a while. I think of like Spider being several shows behind. Whatever. Like, Spider's been such a cool dude around this show forever. And we call y'all stupid names because you sent in a segment once with a stupid name and then you're Cabbage for the rest of your life. And that's a stupid name. But we love Cabbage, and he's going to always be Cabbage for us. Because he was 13 years old and thought that was funny. Whatever, like, those are the things that, like, just bring a smile to my face when I'm thinking about this. And so I'm super, super thankful for each and every one of you. Again, if this is your first show listening to, probably not the first one, best first one to jump in on. Like, go listen to last week's show as well, or keep sticking around. But I'm thankful you're here too. Every single person that's participated in this show along the way, of which there have been thousands and thousands and thousands, like, that's super cool, and y'all are awesome.
And look, we're well aware that this is what's mind-bending to me. There's lots of guys out there, and I know this because I've seen them pop up on Twitter, that will say something to me like, yo, I've been listening to y'all for years, and I've never said a word. I'm just lurking in the background, and we don't really talk about the amount of listeners that we have because I don't think either you or I has any sort of grip on it, any sort of grip on the people that are listening, because I think there's a ton of people working out there that are listening that have never said a word to us. And if you are that person, we are so thankful you're here.
Yep.
We're so thankful that you find us entertaining. I don't know why. And I was trying to do the math, and we did this on 300. I was trying to do the math of, you know, how long we'd been on the air and how long it took us to get here. And you guys have got to know that it kills both of us as adult people not to be able to do a show every single week. If it was up to us and we were in the same room in the same neighborhood, we'd probably be doing a show twice a week. It kills us to not be on the air 4 times a month, 5 times a month. And so whenever we go a month and you don't hear from us, know that we'd rather be here probably than anywhere else. And a lot of things are going to change in the next few years as your daughter gets older.
Yep.
And it's going to be a lot more easier for us. That is so not correct. It's going to be a lot easier for us as we get older and she gets older, because it's going to drive Lennon nuts. But I can tell you right now, unless you have major objections, I'm going to stick a mic in that little girl's face and let her sit with us for as long as she wants to sit with us.
Yeah.
And that's going to change things for us. And so on those weeks, months, years where we're just not here as much as you would like us to be here, believe us when we tell you we want to be here.
Absolutely. And one of those reasons I love when, like, little things like this happen. It's just fun. We were just talking about Death Stranding. I just pulled up the Facebook to see what was going on over there. While we've been doing this show, our boy Luis posted over there, finished Death Stranding and just had to get on here and tell you both that it is the game of the year and people will be talking about it years from now. Kojima is a living legend. And so, like, even while we're doing a show, like, topics that we're talking about, you guys are like, talking about it too, and to see that here, and just, I don't know, like, it's just the best thing in the world, and I'm excited to share it with Genevieve when she gets older as well, and just to, as long as we're living, I can't imagine us not doing a podcast.
No, it is, and I keep trying to rap. And then I keep thinking, like, but I had this discussion. We have this new intern that is working with us at work, and he is from Tesco's high school, and they're trying to do a podcast and trying to learn how to do that. And I'm trying to teach him about headphones, and y'all got to wear headphones. Y'all got to be able to hear each other, and y'all got to do all this stuff. And I went through all of that, and I said, all of that being said, it ain't nothing like live radio. And the 18-year-old kid that just came from the spot where this kid is, that now has a job, says it's the same thing. And I said, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's not the same thing. It's a completely different beast. You and I may never be on live radio. This is the next best thing.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for this, I would be mentally unstable right now.
Yeah.
If I weren't doing this, I would be mentally unstable right now, because I think, and you tell me, when we met, first time we ever met, you walked into, and every time I think about it, I think in my head, you walked into my studio and said, "What's up, dude?" And we started talking, and for most of my life, the ability to be on the air and to be able to speak and to do those types of things, it's what keeps me breathing, right? Like, it's what keeps me mentally stable, and I don't really understand it. And I don't really understand how we got started, because when you walked in that first day, you looked at me, and I could see in your eyes, like, you look at me going, this dude's nuts. This dude's out of his mind. And that's a lot of what, like, I was talking to my sister's boyfriend about the book, and I just realized that I didn't send him home with the book. But I was talking to him about the book and how people are around me, especially when they first meet me. And you had that look in your eyes like, crap, I don't know what to do. But you hit it really well. Right? Like, I know you had that space in your head, like, I don't know what to do. Dude in the wheelchair. He's a little drunk. And I know you had that thought, but you hit it really well.
Well, thank you.
And then you had to figure out how to get me in your house, which we've told that story forever.
Yeah.
I have no idea why you did all of that. I don't know why you chose to make that happen, but I am so thankful. That's not something that for as outgoing as I am, that's not something that happens in my life a lot.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate that. I really do. And likewise, whatever, you know what it was. I mean, at the end of the day, we started talking about video games. And if we had never started talking about video games, you would be doing something in life, I would be doing something in life, whatever, but we wouldn't be doing it together.
Right.
But we started talking about video games one day, and we figured out, hey, we're both kind of into this, and then we figured out, hey, like, we kind of get along, we're like cool dudes, whatever, you know? Worked out, but it was because we started talking about video games one day.
The crazy thing to me is there's a whole list of other stuff that we like to talk about.
Yep.
That we would, if somebody would just give us money and say, get on the air and talk about insert thing here. We've got so many hobbies and so many things that we like to do together, that, like, baseball. Like, holy cow.
Yeah.
We need to go to a park and see, like, 60 games a year. Yeah. Like, we could do a sports podcast. We could do a politics podcast. And, man, that would be a great podcast, because you think some of that stuff on TV. He's real good. when he and I start arguing about something that we don't necessarily agree on,
yep.
That's some good content, folks. So that's the thing that gets me is that it started with video games, and then there's a whole bunch of other stuff, and I'm sitting there watching you work today in the church and setting all that stuff up, and the only thing I could think to myself was, crap, there's a bunch of stuff I don't know. This dude is way smarter than me, and I need to go back to school. I need to learn a bunch of stuff because there's just stuff I don't know. And I can say that to you. I don't say that to anybody else. Sure. And I feel like we could do, there's so many different things we could do. We just have the money and the time. And it's so much fun. And it's all because of video games.
Yep.
That's it. That's all of it.
Yep.
And I just, again, we're so thankful to have this. I mean, we started on dial-up. Like, how crazy were you?
I was just
to upload this show
via dial. I don't know why that thought. Just for people, I always like every so often to mention this. The intro when it says man on wheels, that one's pretty obvious. We get that.
Right.
But it says a Yeti with a modem, and if you haven't been listening to the show for a while, like that may not make any sense to you at all. But it's A, because I'm hairy, and we've talked about that plenty of times. Just a fuzzy dude. But B, because we started this show, you know, in my like second bedroom at my house,
yeah,
with a microphone literally hanging from the ceiling and an Xbox microphone that was janky as all get out.
And it was taped into the port.
It was taped into the port on a 44 whatever, 50, what is it even? I don't remember the values anymore.
It was
56K dial-up.
56K motor, 14K upload or something like that. Like,
yeah. I like the dial-up like whole thing. Like I had to like busy the phone line, which is a concept nobody even understands anymore, but I had to busy the phone line to connect to the internet to upload this show.
It took all night.
It took all night. It was ridiculous. But that's where we started, and again, just ridiculously thankful to be here. Still doing it. No end in sight.
I have no idea how many episodes we've been. Do you even know?
I just did the math a little while ago because I was curious. On just E3 episodes, if we've done 7 episodes, which has been our average for 14 years, that's another 100 episodes. You know, like, right. On top, we've easily done way over 500 shows with everything else mixed in there, special editions and everything else. We're way over 500.
Right.
It's been a lot.
I'm an adult. You love your job. I like the job I have. I don't love my job. But seriously, folks, if we get to the point where we can drop everything and do this, we're probably going to drop everything and do this. Like, you have a great job with great people. But I the joy that this brings to our lives, you guys don't even know. And it's not because we're sitting here. It's because of you guys.
Yeah.
I have no idea why you're listening. I have no idea why you're here, but you guys create this, and we're so thankful. And we're going to shut up, because yep. We've been going on for 45 minutes about nothing.
And I got to go home soon, and I want to play some Darth Vader.
So yeah, we're going to shut up. Thank you, guys.
Sorry, just one more thing I have to say, because it's so stinking cute, and it's off topic of everything else. We have a little Star Wars book of colors that the little girl is just enamored with.
Right.
And she knows Yoda, and she knows Darth Vader. Those are her two characters, and every time, like the very first page has Darth Vader on it. Every time you open the book, it's Darth Vader. It's just the best. And then you get to the page with Yoda, and it's Yoda, Yoda, Yoda. And it's like a colors book. And so it's like, Yoda, Yoda is green. And it's just the best.
No. See,
sorry.
See, I can't wait till she sees Baby Yoda.
Yes, I know. Me neither. I can't wait till I see Baby Yoda. I need to go get my Disney Plus subscription happening for crying. Anyway, we got to wrap.
Yeah, we got to go. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. I have no idea what that show was.
No.
400. I don't know. We had a good time.
We did.
We think some of y'all are probably on suicide watch at this point. I didn't even bring up the fact that I saw the Joker 3 days ago. And well, yes, nice. I know it's called Joker. Dude. So good.
Yeah. I
so if you haven't seen Joker, go see it. It's really, really good. Really good. Like Heath Ledger level good. It's so dark. It's so screwed up. You gotta go see it if you haven't seen Joker. And it's like off everywhere. Like there was like 2 days left, and I'm like, I gotta go see this. So worth it. Go see Joker. We should have done that. Why didn't we do that?
Because we have no time.
Yeah. Well, there is that. So yeah, that's cool. Go see that. Go by the Facebook page. Go by the Patreon. There is content there, even though it sucks. We know it sucks. We're sorry. Definitely do that. Go by the Twitter. Lots of good stuff on the Twitter. Tommy keeps up with that. I don't know how or why, but he does, and it's kind of awesome. What else?
Voicemail line.
509-GAME-210. That's 509-GAME-210. I'm sitting here debating in my head, is this the show that I give my sister's boyfriend? It's like, look, this is what we do. Is this the show? That's what I'm thinking about. Because now, I can just imagine him calling into the voicemail line going, you got nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, 509-GAME-210. And you call in. You leave the message. We will play it. If it hangs up on you, and it will after 3 minutes, call us back. We'll splice it together. We will play segments at some point.
we don't know when,
but we will.
We've had a couple sitting around for a while. We need to bring them back.
Yes. I miss segments, so we will do that. Give us more. Make it to the point where we got segments running out of our ears and we got to play them.
Yes.
That's what needs to happen. Other than that, I think we're done. Happy 400, sir.
Happy 400.
Many, many, many more. I hope to be like 85 and still doing this show. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We're Gaming Uncensored. And thankfully, we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for this show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.